When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
We host the Holderness Family Podcast every Tuesday.
You may know us from the silly videos that we make online.
Or a book about marriage called Everybody Fights.
Or as winners of season 33 of The Amazing Race.
Still can't believe that happened. Yeah. Listen, we do a lot of stuff, but our podcast is our most favorite thing.
Yeah, because every week we get to sit down face to face, talk to each other about marriage, family, mental health, or just anything that we want to know more about.
Sometimes we have expert interviews, sometimes it's just us, but our goal is to bring some joy and laughter and to your life every week.
Our other goal is that maybe you will learn something as well.
Right. So search the Holderness Family Podcast and check out our most recent episodes. We have one about staying organized with creators of The Home Edit.
And one about being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult.
We hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today, because the cinemas are open and we're going to go to them and see a movie and then walk home.
We are, and we're so...
I'm excited.
So excited. And old listeners will remember...
Old listeners.
Back in the day, we had babysitter Megan, who used to come and mind the kids while we went to the cinema. Well, Megan's back, baby.
Megan's back.
It's like, do you know what? We're all vaccinated. The kids are sleeping through the night. If not now, when?
Yeah.
So we're thrilled, like really thrilled. And we put a poll up on Twitter to see what you guys thought we should go see.
And you unanimously said we should go see Suicide Squad.
No, 42% said Suicide Squad. But we couldn't get a babysitter.
It's not out yet.
It's not out till tomorrow.
And Megan can't do tomorrow. And Megan dictates the schedule of this podcast.
So, but a close second with 34%, which is quite high, was Old. For reference, Jungle Cruise got 19%, Off the Rails got 5%.
What's Off the Rails?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Made the poll.
I made the poll and Googled, just saw what was in the cinema basically this weekend and put it up. I'm excited about Old because it's M. Night Shyamalan, and as a filmmaker, like, his stuff I tend to find like hit and miss, but like some of it is
yeah,
really enjoyable,
I'll say.
And the coolest thing that's after happening is both Dave and I realised just on our way out of the house that neither of us know anything about this movie. Like, we don't even know the premise.
Not a thing.
And I'm really excited by that, because like, I've had some really good cinematic experiences with M. Night Shyamalan. Like, I remember being at The Village and not knowing what it was.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
Like having a lot of fun with that movie. And we actually watched The Sixth Sense on this podcast a couple of years ago, might have been around Halloween, and we had so much fun watching that movie. And I know he's done some stinkers, but I'm really excited to see a movie of his in the cinema.
You're right though, he's had such an interesting career, and I'd rather have someone like him out there in the wild who's just swing. You never really know what you're going to get, and the quality really varies wildly, but at least he's like doing interesting stuff, and he's not just like a safe, bland pair of hands.
And I'm glad it's not like, I'm presuming not by the title and from the poster I've seen, I'm kind of sick of the split universe. We kind of enjoyed movies. But
you can go listen to our Glass review. That's back in the feed there somewhere.
We had a laugh when we went to see Glass. That's the thing.
And did he make Split as well? Yeah, he did. Right,
he did.
Right. So Split was a bit of fun. Glass didn't like that at all. But
we still had fun again, trashing it.
Yeah, it's like when he's makes a really bad film, and he does, they're somehow still like, I'm baffled by the writing. It's mostly the dialogue that he comes up with. Like, I'll never forget one of the funniest things I've ever seen in cinematic history is The Happening with Mark Wahlberg, which was one of his ones.
Happening, I can't even remember.
I don't
that.
Know if you saw it. I remember seeing it, and there's just like you watch that and you're like, is this a joke? Was it meant to be a joke? And the answer is no. M. Night Shyamalan is a very serious filmmaker, and I think he believes his own shit.
I have heard a lot of people say that, like, one of his big errors is that he gets involved in the scripts, and
yes.
Like, he's a really good director and, like, maybe not such a good writer.
He is not a good writer.
But what was that movie that I really liked, and I'm sure it was M. Night Shyamalan, a couple of years ago, God, 8 years ago now, maybe.
The one with
these
two kids
who went to visit their granny or something.
The Visitors or something? The Visit? The Visit.
That was really good.
That was fun.
That
yeah.
was really
so,
good.
So I think...
I have high hopes.
And he did another one which he was involved in called Devil in a Lift, which was quite interesting. So he's like,
I think he's gone much... I think he obviously, like, after Sixth Sense, he had a lot of money and was given huge budgets by Hollywood and then had a lot of flops. So I think he's back to the lower budget end of filmmaking again.
Well, that's what... We talked about this in our Glass review. What's so interesting about him is that he's not a safe pair of hands and has delivered many flops, like The Last Airbender, one of my all-time favourite shows, which I couldn't even bring myself to watch that adaptation, so bad was it described as.
Yeah.
But so he's certainly not somebody who can command massive budgets and get loads of investment. The Glass film, he self-funded.
Wow.
That tells you how deep this man's pockets are. But
that
also
must have made him a lot of money then.
I think he remortgaged his house and stuff. Like, he's not like he puts himself out there. He really does, both financially
and
creatively.
If we owned a house, which we don't, and were to remortgage it, we couldn't finance anything with said imaginary house.
So I really do admire the man, his passion, his fervor and commitment. Like, he's not somebody who's just, he's not a jobbing director. He's a man who's like, who's really believes in his projects and literally puts everything into them, like money and himself. So now I am kind of geared up for this movie that I'd never heard of until 10
really,
minutes ago.
Really excited to be going to the cinema. And I, because loads of people, like, so many people messaged us about this movie. It's interesting, like, Suicide Squad won the poll. But in terms of commentary on our Twitter and Instagram at the cinema, I'll go and follow and chat to us. Everyone's talking about Old.
Right.
Like, that's, I think, like, maybe one of his typical movies, like, it maybe gets a lot of conversations going.
That's a great point, yeah. Because it's like, he's almost like an event in itself.
Yeah.
Like, and his name is so synonymous with
twists.
Kind of twist endings, yeah. So, I mean, people go into these things expecting twist endings.
But
I'm sure
go.
He'll do one in this.
Yeah, excited. Going to the light cinema,
right,
one of our faves.
No idea what this movie is or what it's about. But here we go. We'll see you on the other side.
Bye.
On our walk home. Bye.
What happened to her mom?
I don't know.
What happened to her?
Body has decomposed.
How quickly can that happen?
7 years.
But she just died.
Wait. Where are the kids?
Trent!
Kara!
Come here!
Hey, have you seen my children?
Mom? I'm right here.
Why are you looking at me like that? What's happening to us?
My daughter just turned 6 2 weeks ago.
Mom?
Whatever's happening to us is happening very fast.
You have wrinkles.
There's something wrong with this beach.
What's happening?
Mom! 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 I'm scared! We have to get off this beach!
People are blacking out going this way.
If she makes it to the ledge, she might have a chance.
Why is she stopping?
Why is she stopping? Kara, wake up! Wake up!
Okay, hello. We're just out of the movie Old. If it's your first time at the Cinemile, then you should know that we're walking home, but we are not going to spoil anything until we get to Spoiler Street, mm-hmm. which is conveniently on our route home.
Yeah.
And happens at the exact moment we want to discuss spoilers
exactly.
for the movie.
It's a magical place, much like a certain beach.
Right.
One could talk about.
No, okay.
Can I just say straight off the bat?
Yeah.
I loved watching this movie.
I mean,
there's a lot to talk about.
You loved watching it or you loved the movie?
I loved watching it.
Because I really had a fun night out.
I loved watching it.
I did not
it.
Love this movie.
I just had... We had a laugh watching this movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's some things actually that are really good about it. There's some things that are not so good and we'll get into them. But, like, off the bat, really enjoyed watching it.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I'll tell you that much. The man is an auteur of sorts.
I feel like I would have guessed...
This movie has everything... Like, you know, we discussed in the intro about how he either kind of delivers masterpieces like The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, which I only saw for the first time a few years ago, and it really holds up, or he delivers The Happening, or, you know, allegedly The Last Airbender, and all these kind of things. And this kind of feels like he's doing both. This movie contains, it's really well made, it looks great, it's got some interesting stuff in it, it's bursting with ideas, but it's also pretty bad in many ways. Like we spoke about his writing, the dialogue in this movie, none of it feels natural.
Like, we were laughing out loud at some of the dialogue.
Some of the dialogue,
by the way,
dreadful.
There was no one sitting near us in the cinema. It was probably the busiest cinema we've been in a while.
We had so much fun. So
we had a lot of space, so we were able to whisper amongst ourselves and slightly giggle at some of the wooden delivery. And you know when you're like, is it the actor's fault or the script's fault? I think it's the script's fault.
It's definitely the script. I think the actors, for the most part, really good effort.
Yeah, really good effort,
I think.
But we'll chat about it quickly, but then I think we just need to get to Spoiler Street on this one because there's a lot to spoil.
We'll say, I think this movie is best consumed without knowing anything about it, as we did.
Now, I'm sure most people will know the premise, though, so I would say, like,
well, that's what I was going to say. I think we can discuss the... just warning here, if you don't want to know anything about this at all, then switch off. Go watch it. I think it's a good talking point. Like, I'm quite excited to talk about this, even though I think it's got many problems.
And I also really like that he... that he's just put it out in the cinema, because I really admire the people who are willing to do that. And, like, you know, look what's after happening with Black Widow, whereby it's made loads less money, and, like, Scarlett Johansson's now suing Disney because they promised her a cut of theatrical release, which hasn't happened. There's loads going on in Hollywood at the moment, and I, as much as I, as a viewer, like having the choice to watch it at home or in the cinema, I admire him for putting it in the cinema and bringing bums back on seats like us. We'd probably have watched it at home just for logistical reasons if it wasn't...
I admire that.
...on the cinema, so I'm happy about that. And, like, however, it was the biggest screening we've probably been at since the start of the pandemic, turns and numbers.
Yeah, there were a fair few there. Yeah. But I gotta say, I wish we had swapped our last two episodes around. I wish I'd seen Black Widow in the cinema, and I'd have happily watched this at home.
No,
and
but
probably...
I had more fun, because this is, like, you know what you're getting with certain movies, like... I mean, it's unusual. Like, this is a testament to the power of someone like M. Night Shyamalan. We're like, yeah, we'll just go and watch his latest movie. His name has got star power.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we'll go and watch his movie knowing nothing about it. Albeit we saw at the very end it is, like, based on a comic book, but it feels very much like an independent original movie.
It feels like something he would have come up with anyway.
Yeah, like, so I just love the premise. And
do you
want to
hear the premise, everyone? Sorry, go on.
Okay, yeah, we're not telling anyone anything that isn't in the synopsis.
No,
this isn't
a
spoiler.
I'm literally just going to read it from IMDb, which I think is the safest way to do it. So, a family on a tropical holiday discovers that the secluded beach where they are relaxing for a few hours is somehow causing them to age rapidly, reducing their entire lives into a single day.
Okay, so we had so much fun at the start of this movie. We were like, there's such a sense of dread. This family, like, arrive at this resort. You're like, I feel dread. I feel nothing but dread. I know something bad's going to happen to them.
He knows how to create suspense.
He really does.
And there was no... The other thing was, there was no music. There was little music. Quite economical use of music, which is often used to manipulate your emotion or tell you to feel something. But that's what... I was so impressed that I was feeling so much threat and dread.
Yeah. It's like, for no reason. I think
it's just enough to know that you're watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie and that shit's gonna go down, because they were just having a fun time and I was like, what's going to happen?
And what's really interesting about, like, and again, this is where you can feel how low budget it is, though I'm sure, I mean, it would still cost millions of dollars, but, like, you can feel where someone like him, who is a very strong director, can work with very little money. Because the big reveal, which, I mean, obviously we clocked before it quite started happening, but when like the kids are aging.
We clocked it an hour and a half before the characters did. it was excruciating waiting for them to clock.
But I quite enjoyed how he built it up and like the suspense is like the kids have gone off. We hear that their voices have changed. We kind of see the back of their head.
I think
he takes ages to actually spin the camera back around again, where we see that the kids have gone from being like 6 to being like 12 or whatever the leap was.
I gotta say,
I enjoy that.
I know, but he pulled that string a little too taut. I think.
Do you think it felt like a bit wannabe Hitchcock? Because that's what I felt with a lot of the camera work, the way he was doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that actually, but it was definitely like master of suspense type vibe.
I think wannabe Hitchcock probably summarizes it my channel very well. He likes to insert himself into his movies.
There was a couple of scenes where there was a couple of camera shots where I was like, okay, I feel like he's like directly doing Hitchcock films, but I can't remember what they are.
He is no Hitchcock.
I loved how he dragged it out, to be honest. That was one of my great joys of the film. It's like, do you know what? Just keep dragging it out. Let us not see that they're older. And then I think we should just go to spoiler street now because I don't want to spoil anything else.
Yeah, okay. Yeah? Recommend. I do recommend
100%
it.
Recommend.
I think it's fun. I think it's
I have issues
an
with
experience.
It
does feel like the right duration. It didn't outstay its welcome.
It was the right duration. Now I'll say
but it is prepare
we...
yourself. Like it's not. It's
not
certainly
amazing.
Not good.
No. And like it's I would fine. Say, that I wholly enjoyed my time in the cinema watching it, despite having issues with it. Like. I have definite issues with how we treated the female characters. I think the ending was like a joke and should have finished 10 minutes before it did. They're my two biggest gripes with this movie. And thirdly, the dialogue is shocker. But how it looked was truly beautiful, didn't it?
We should have looked up where
like,
they filmed
as
it.
Well, like, obviously brought to mind The Beach, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, and... I just like, do you know what? If it's a secluded beach, just don't go to it. I think that's my main movie takeaway.
I think
no
that's
good
usually
will come of
the
it.
Opposite advice whenever you go away on holidays. You look for the secluded beach.
When a creepy guy working in a hotel says, you and your beautiful family should come to this beach that nobody else knows about. I was like, yeah. And I really enjoyed a couple of things that they kind of did whereby they provided them with loads and loads of food.
Yeah, well, like, spoilers now. Spoilers now for M. Night Shyamalan's Old. You have been warned, right?
You've been warned. They get older.
Don't go. They get so old and so fast. So
like the science. Well, what will we get to first? Can I talk about the treatment of the female characters?
I'm okay with the science.
Oh, the science made 100% sense.
I mean, well, he didn't. What he did, the clever thing of not going into any detail.
Yeah, that's clever.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine. Like, okay, there's an area on a beach that, due to magnetism or something, that people age fast.
Well,
like,
they also
fine. That's
they
fine.
Did one clever bit though, which I appreciated.
That's not my issue.
Whereby they were like. What do they say? Your nails and your hair are already dead, so they won't change. So that's why... Because otherwise, suddenly, they'd all have freakishly long nails or, like, long hair or, like, grey hair.
You'd have to be cutting your nails every 5 seconds. Right?
So they kind of did away with that. I remember at the end, I was like, why don't have they grey hair? And then I remembered this line. It's like, oh, yeah, it's because... Their hair doesn't change because otherwise, whatever. He kind of dealt with like that.
Oh, so that's okay.
I think so because I remember them saying about nails and stuff. Right. So the science is fine. Of course, it makes perfect sense that on this beach you don't age because the rocks stop you aging. Grand. And what was like? Sorry, opening a gate. One of my issues was like. So you've got your core group of characters, and then the woman. So. We've got the mom and the dad, who the guy who's great, and I can't remember who he is, but I know he's like in the Che Guevara movie and stuff. He's the only actor I actually recognise in this.
What's his name?
Anyway. I really like him. I really enjoyed the family dynamic of like a family who are about to get a divorce, and also the mom's really kind of ill.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah, and I really like him. So basically that's like our core family. Then, like, we get on the beach, and as everything starts happening, which is, like, really ghoulish, so you've got, like, the young girl of the other family who ends up, you know, very quickly aging, getting pregnant, then kind of horrific birth scene, and then quite soon after, she climbs up a load of rocks and falls down, right? Like, that's all really gruesome. And then her mom is... First of all, from the very beginning, I was skeptical as how he's going to handle this so-called trophy wife. I was like, what's he doing with this character? And it was horrible.
They didn't really dimensionalize her at all.
They didn't just not dimensionalize her. They like punished her. Basically, her mother-in-law died. Then her daughter had this unbelievably horrific experience. No one even went to tell her that her daughter had died. Then her husband, who I guess is some sort of early onset,
I think they,
dementia.
They reference at the end that he had a violent form of schizophrenia.
Right, and he seemed to be very forgetful as well. And then he's obviously like racist, and he's like a murderer, and all this stuff. So all this stuff's happening around her, and then how she's treated is she goes into this cave. Like, granted, this was like a ghoulish scene that, like, visually I enjoyed, though I didn't quite understand. Where, like, she kept breaking her own bones.
Well,
they kept resetting.
They threw it away. They explained it with a throwaway bit of exposition from the two kids as it was happening. My God. Her bones are setting as they break.
But just because they're setting and breaking, why was she suddenly like a tarantula? Like moving all her limbs at all the time, just breaking and breaking them over and over again.
I feel like that's Shyamalan like thinking up a horrifying image. And then working backwards.
It was really horrifying.
Yeah.
But how she was treated, and like, oh, I'm so hideous, I don't want to look at myself. She was treated so awfully. Like, how they did her makeup, how they treated her body, how they treated her character, that felt to me like 100% a slightly misogynistic director is making this movie.
Okay.
It did not sit right with me what they did to that character. And while I appreciate the ghoulishness of the scene, technically, you know, it was quite cool to look at. I was just like, but why is her character the one this is being levied at? It just felt really weird to me.
Well,
and all the shit that happened to her daughter was so gruesome.
Well, let's talk about that a bit more then, because she felt like a stereotype.
100%.
Her husband felt like a stereotype. And they're both kind of punished for being those stereotypes.
Well, no, right? The husband wasn't punished. The husband was like a racist
murderer.
Well,
he was punishing. But I agree with you. I think the movie punishes her.
Yeah.
And I think
being,
that feels
what,
very much like, yeah, how, ugh, Instagram influencers are disgusting.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what the movie's trying to say. The movie's presenting you as with this, like, trying to present you an objectively horrifying person. Like,
yeah.
She's so vain and vacuous.
Yeah, it just didn't, like, none of it's that right with me. But
and
like,
then it punishes her.
And then when we take away the morals of how the characters are treated, I did enjoy the logistics of, like, I thought it was quite clever to have, like, two kids who basically come into puberty, don't know what they're doing, have sex, she's immediately pregnant. All that stuff was kind of interesting. But then it just got a little bit too gross for me after that.
I think it's, like, there's really interesting ideas here. And I think he spins off from the core central idea some really interesting things, like you mentioned the hair and nails. Like, some of it's like obviously wouldn't hold up from a biologist's scrutiny.
Oh, I think this is scientifically accurate for
but
sure.
Like, there's some he does keep throwing in interesting stuff, like the rusty knife and then watching the rust spread like
that
poison.
That was awesome. I really enjoyed that scene.
Like, so there's
and he needed his comeuppance, that character.
The calcium thing, the idea of what would happen if somebody became pregnant during this time. And also there's like, what other movie are you going to have like a 6-year-old in a like 30-year-old's body losing their virginity to another 6-year-old?
Yeah,
it's like,
it's so weird.
That's fucked up on so many levels.
And when she was walking down the beach and her bump suddenly appeared, we did go like, ah, even though I did say
even
before
though
she's
we
gonna
knew
get
it
pregnant.
Was coming,
yeah.
Because this movie has few surprises. I would say I would think I mean, I didn't predict the ending as such, but the most of its surprises are signposted so far ahead, don't you think? Like,
yeah.
And then when it does, it's like what we were talking about earlier with the like the reveal of the kids being older. Like, he labored that so much. Like,
but then it's like,
let's have another scene where we don't show the kids and somebody says, hey, so what age are you guys, right? Must be 11, 12. And then it's just like, okay, like, I get it. The movie's called Old. I didn't even know the premise and I got this 10 minutes ago and now I gotta watch
really
four more scenes of characters going, something's wrong with my daughter.
But do you wish that,
but
like,
I don't
this
know
movie
what it
had
is.
Existed? Because I fully, like, enjoyed watching this movie. I just wish that someone else had, like, someone had edited the script.
Punched it up. Not even edited. Just, like, let Shyamalan have his first draft. Then give it to someone who knows how real people talk.
It's
right?
So unnatural. And I know as well part of it might be kind of deliberately stilted because it's, like, a surreal environment. And, like, you know, you can watch movies where, like, it's deliberately kind of like a soliloquy quality or whatever to the dialogue. I don't think that's what was happening here. Like, I don't feel the dialogue. There was one scene where I really liked the dialogue. I know it was a bit on the nose, but, like, I enjoyed it. So, you know the way, like, our core couple, they're aging and aging, albeit it's impossible to tell because basically the actors just have some wrinkles drawn on their faces. But the kind of original couple who kind of end up being the last people left on the beach with their children, they have that scene where he's like, what were we fighting about? I don't remember. And it's kind of like...
That's kind of sweet.
I thought that scene was really sweet, and, like, the dialogue was paired back enough while it was a little bit on the nose. It was like that thing of, like, if you spend your whole life with someone and you're talking about whatever age they're supposed to be here at the end, 80, 90, and they're, like, deaf and blind and stuff, it doesn't... None of that stuff mattered anymore to them. They just wanted to be there with their kids in their final moments. And that's actually... I liked that idea.
Yeah, one of the few moments of genuine sincerity in the movie. But I gotta say, I think the family kind of worked despite the dialogue. I think the casting and the chemistry of those four actors felt like they felt really interesting. But I think...
Oh my god, the other female character I meant to talk about was, in terms of bad treatment...
The woman with the seizures?
The woman with the seizure at the end. Yeah. That was her... First of all, her husband, who was kind of like the nicest, noblest character, I'd say, the nurse... He was like, right, I'm going to go off and swim off. Obviously, he fell unconscious and
drowned.
He was
from Lost.
Oh, was he? Mm. But then she has this horrific seizure, which I find, like, quite distressing to watch. And I felt like they just had such a brutal ending. And then the actual wife, what I loved, the core wife, the mom, I absolutely loved the scene where they did surgery on her tumour. And, like,
oh, that was
interesting. Skin was closing over their hands. Like, that's class.
I thought that was a really interesting scenario. Yeah. And that's one of those moments where I'm like, wow, this movie's making great use of its concept and like really having fun. So but I so I'm like, yeah, it worked. Like it worked as sort of a sci-fi genre piece, and then and horror, and it made really good use of a concept I don't think I've seen before, and was very interesting. But I don't think the character or the characters for the most part felt very one note. There's no real theme to any of this that I could gather, except maybe influencers are bad and divorce, people getting divorced need time to figure things out. I don't know. I don't know what the movie's trying to say.
Getting old is not doesn't feel nice on your body.
There's nothing to pull here thematically, but it looked nice. It was interesting. Can we spend the last 5 minutes before we get home talking about the end of this movie and how
what a killer! Like, what are you? It's like he's like, oh, I'm known for the ending of my movies being really interesting, like The Village or Sixth Sense, so therefore I have to do something different with this ending. And it's like, no, this is Basil Exposition. This isn't anything interesting.
It wasn't satisfying.
I wish it ended with the two kids like at the coral.
It would have been better as just a freak thing that wasn't controlled by somebody and then just watch this happen. And
oh
then
my god,
have the kids
you're right.
Escape,
that would have been so much more interesting.
Right, that's more interesting to me. Like, I don't
need...
But
then the resort thing is like, in fairness, the resort set up at the beginning was good. Like,
no, but as soon... All right, we've been out of the cinema for, like, what? 5 minutes before we switched on this thing. It took me less than that to pick all the problems with what he's outlined here. And it's the same thing.
No, this is the problem.
I'm not going
to
spoil...
M. Night Shyamalan will drive you to a beach and then he will watch you to a telescope while you all die. Why is he in all his movies?
Because he is a narcissist. He actually is. And that's why his dialogue is what we hear from those actors' mouths in all of these movies. Because he has no self-awareness. And that makes him... That's why he's so interesting as a filmmaker. Because nobody...
He's not a bad actor. He's totally fine.
He's not a great actor and doesn't really deserve to be in all of his movies.
But
Quentin Tarantino.
If he's going to be self-funding and creating a movie, he deserves
right
well to be in it.
I think the fact that he puts himself in them tells you something about his lack of self-awareness. And his lack of self-awareness results in... probably ownership or being protective of his writing and his script, so that's why somebody else doesn't get to come in and fix it, and I mean fix it. And that's probably why the actors perhaps are not comfortable ad-libbing or playing around with things. I would imagine, and I'm speculating,
well, most,
that on set he's like, my words, you speak them.
No, but Dave, almost no actors ad lib on set.
Yeah, fine.
People stick to the script they're given.
If ever they should, it's here.
No, what's wrong with this line? Oh, I'm getting older. I seem to be aging at a rapid pace, approximately 8 years per 30 minutes.
I know, yeah. I'm a marine biologist, and I can tell you from my studies as a marine biologist that this is. It's like.
No, so, she was like a bone conservationist.
Oh, yeah, bone conservationist.
I did
enjoy never seen such an expansive rate of brawn degradation.
I did enjoy the. I actually enjoyed the thing of like how the bones were immediately going to dust as well.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But again, the passage of time didn't make sense.
Sorry, can I finish my thought?
Sorry, yeah.
His lack of self-awareness results in these mad, baffling, terrible things. But it also results in these movies getting made because nobody would have the level of confidence to be able to make The Happening, The Last Airbender, all these just massive, like, critical and commercial bombs, and get back up and self-fund your own, like, movie franchise. I don't know if he self-funded this, but he did it for Glass and made like a trilogy and brought us. Like, I just really admired that. Like,
I really admire
the
him.
Confidence.
Yeah, I admire. I would be in a
hole if I'd made The Last Airbender and The Happening. I'd be in a hole for the rest of my life.
But this is why you're not a director. We need to talk about the ending. So basically, the siblings are now like in their 50s, and they, which I thought was sweet. Because they are actually still supposed to be children. Like, the boy originally is not much older than our eldest son. And he finds the note from his friend and he kind of translates the secret code. And it says...
My uncle doesn't like the coral.
But I liked that. And I just wish they'd gone to the coral, swam to breathe it for air and, like, cut. That's the end of the movie.
The end. They got out. But then everybody would be like, but why? But why is it happening? And then this is why it's happening. Here's The Happening. Because... there's
I haven't seen The Happening, so don't spoil it for me.
No, this is why it's happening.
Oh, it's happening,
not spoiling that
for
happening.
Multiple reasons. Firstly,
science needs it to happen.
Pharmaceutical company who's doing experiments on like life-saving drugs by putting these people on the beach. So hurrah, we've cured epilepsy.
Yeah.
It's like, what? That was like a torrent of information. And kind of weird, because then it kind of implied that the scientists were doing good.
But it's also, I love the fact that this guy got up to remind everybody why they're there.
But he also was
as
like,
you all know, ever since we discovered that beach, which is rapidly aging, yes, they all seem to believe they're doing good, which I'm like, surely nobody at a pharmaceutical company who's developing experimental drugs through trials that result in the murder of innocent children can be that Manhattan Project level and so blind as to sort of the wider implications of it. You're working for a pharmaceutical company. How much do you think they're going to charge for the seizure medication?
Are they giving it away
for free? Is it noble?
This is where the movie really falls apart for multiple reasons. A, just like from a narrative perspective, this was really unsatisfying to drop this in. But also, this in itself is a really interesting like ethical study. If you can cure epilepsy for the whole world, and this is like a really deep philosophical question... is the death of one person justifiable? I don't know. Let's make a whole movie about that question.
I don't know.
Just drop it in the end of this movie.
But maybe that would have been an interesting question just to end the movie on. But no, we got to have another 10 or 15 minutes where the 2 6-year-olds bring down the entire project by handing a notebook to a police officer who's on holiday.
Remember the start of the movie he asked everyone their careers?
Have you ever seen The Firm? Have you ever seen any movie where an individual tries to take down a multi-million dollar company, let alone a pharmaceutical company that has built one of the world's greatest kept secrets?
Fell apart immediately. Like, he basically gave a notebook to the police officer.
The police officer makes one phone call. Yes. You think this pharmaceutical company can't cover that shit up?
They're like, we just cured epilepsy.
You think they can't just like take this? They're willing to kill children. They're surely just going to get rid of this police officer and bury the evidence.
Secondly,
I'm sorry, I don't buy that you can't cut from handing the police officer the notebook to flying away in a helicopter and then the look on the guy's face, like, it's all over.
But it also he's made
a phone call, and it's like as if the police officer on the other end is going to believe any of this.
But it also all happened within the space of hours, and then the guy who's now like 50, the main kid pulls a thing out of his pocket, i.e. the secret code, and hands it to the little friend, and they have this moment. I'm like, that little friend's just like, why is an old man got my friend's notebook?
Yeah, where did you get
He's that? Not like, oh, of course.
That kid doesn't know
it's
what's happening.
You.
My God, it's you, of course. They must have, that kid figured out the whole film quicker than the characters in the situation did.
Oh, can I just say, like, one other thing that annoyed me? Like, of course they're in beach attire, right? Because they're on a beach. And I actually thought, like, I really thought the kids did a really good job, both the very young kids and the teenage kids, right?
Yeah, great casting. Your man from Hereditary shows
really
up.
Good casting. And but what bugged me is that, like, why did the girls growing into women have to be in skimpy bikinis and then, like, ooh, your bikini's really skimpy, you need to change? It's like, again, it's just like,
yeah, that was like a plot point.
A gross point is like, do you know what?
I've got a spare bikini in my bag.
I've often been on the beach in like a baggy t-shirt and a pair of shorts, and I just don't feel like for the entire movie I need to be watching young women's bodies on display. Yeah. Anyway, bugged me as well. But yeah, the overall ending was so farcical that we were actually pissing ourselves in our chair by the end. Like, we were properly laughing out loud.
It's so funny. And then not only that, it's like it's the Return of the King level amount of of endings, hats on hats here. Because after all that had happened, it's like, okay. All right, I guess the pharmaceutical company has been defeated by the six-year-old and the police officer now. Okay, then, I guess the movie's over. No, I wonder what they're going to do now. Cut to helicopter ride, Jurassic Park style, where they're like... And then we get a line of dialogue where it was like, I wonder, is our uncle going to recognise me as a 50-year-old man? It's just like, I could have imagined all this.
It was pause for thought for me, right? So I have a six-year-old niece and an eight-year-old nephew. If they went to this beach with their parents and they came back like in their 60s, how willing would I be to house them in their old age? The answer is not very. And I feel bad for this aunt that she's been saddled with these two aging people that she now needs to, like, look after for the rest of their lives.
This is all coming out, Kathy.
Because they're not going to age naturally at 18 and, like, move on to their lives. They're not going to become 18 for, like, another 10 years till they're, like, 70. Well, so she's, like, minding children. Like, it's a big commitment.
Yeah, and they do need to be minded because their brains
aren't mature. They were kind of saying, though, that their brains had matured, like... I used to see the world in like black and white, and now I see it in colour. And they seemed more adult. So I wish they'd explore the brain.
I thought that was implying a more hormonal changes rather than like because your brain develops, yeah, on a physical level, but your mind only develops through experience, right? That and building memories, and that's how you learn.
And then again, there's a really interesting of like the psychological effect of what this would do to you, right? And then with the only reference you get to that is, I missed my high school prom. It's like, no, like particularly the
you
son.
You have missed the point, M. Night Shyamalan.
The son basically lost his baby, his girlfriend, and his parents in one day, and like he's just like shooting the breeze in a helicopter on his way home. Yeah. To
his aunt. Do you think my uncle will recognize me? Because I look so different.
Anyway, look, we have to stop talking about this. But like, overall made me think like with M. Night Shyamalan is like, does he now go like just by default? Okay. Like, okay, spoilers for The Sixth Sense here, right? If you haven't seen The Sixth Sense at this point in your life, firstly, go and watch The Sixth Sense, and secondly, turn off, right? Because the podcast's nearly over. So, spoilers for Sixth Sense. You know the way
you
Sixth Sense...
Are you joking? That's the most commonly known...
Well,
you're being facetious.
I'm not, actually. Okay. I'm not... This is not a spoiler podcast. When, at the very end of The Sixth Sense, they kind of walk back... Do I recall? They walk back and kind of show us when Bruce Willis was actually being a ghost.
Yeah, you get a montage of the whole movie where it's him realizing.
And I actually think as bad as those kind of things can be, it really works in The Sixth Sense, right? Yeah. Because as an audience, we really didn't see it coming, so that was a genuine moment where we like enjoyed reliving it. This one we kind of didn't need to be relived of. Well, they were all sick, so then we brought them all to the hotel, and then we decided to test all these drugs. And if anything, it's like, you know the way you said the movie had no theme. Yeah. Kind of like, okay, they seem to be testing like a wild variety of illnesses all at the same time on the beach, which first of all didn't quite make sense to me because they're talking about doing a controlled study whereby instead of having to test someone over a whole life, you can do it over a whole day. I get that, but therefore,
why not just kidnap them stick them on the beach? No, why build a resort, a functioning resort?
Well, yeah, that's
true.
That
poor hotel manager has to run an actual resort and run one of the most sinister pharmaceutical trials in history.
With trials, you need more than one person, right? So there should have been 10 people with epilepsy on that beach.
Yeah, exactly. You need
not just
you
like
need
one person with a tune. You need like control.
You need control
and results. Yeah, yeah. So their plan didn't even make any sense. And then it's like when they first kind of showed that they were like bad scientists, I thought, oh my god, it's going to be like someone who's testing like anti-aging products or something to like link back to the theme, like drugs that stop you aging, or like even on a silly level, but like anti-aging face creams or something. Like nothing to do with that either. It's like, no, one's epilepsy, one's got a tumor, one's got whatever psychosis or early onset dementia, I don't know why he had, one has a calcium deficiency. It's like, but you didn't watch the trial because, okay, you gave her the epilepsy medicine, but did you not give the other woman like a lifetime worth of calcium supplement? Like, what was the trial?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can't They can only trial medicines that are one and done. Not like medicines that you take for the rest of your life to control your symptoms.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't cure a calcium deficiency. You can just mitigate it with calcium and maybe another drug. But they don't give them that. They just give them one thing on the way in, a cocktail on the way in.
Yeah, like,
and it's like, that's all you're testing. You're just testing one.
Oh my God, we should have had my sister Elizabeth on, who's actually seen it and recommended we go and watch Lockdown Lizzie, who used to live with us. Like, she should have been on as her science correspondent.
How many pharmaceuticals that you ingest do one thing and you're fixed?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that they even exist.
No, and certainly this is not a control, so we're going to come back with a science special on this movie, right?
One more thing, okay. One more other massive flaw in all of their plan was, like, fine, I get it, right? You're inviting people who are sick and you're wiping off their whole families and whatever,
and
disappearing them off the face of the earth.
And they appear to have flown them on a private airline to the resort because yeah. No one had any trace of them travelling.
No,
and I'm like,
I'm sorry. Surely I tell my family where I was going. Oh, look, we found this amazing thing. No, here's the link.
But also, if I got a receipt from the pharmacy for a holiday and then I booked it and it said, oh, you get a free charter jet, I'd be like, something's a bit weird.
That's a scam.
With this holiday.
Yeah. But even then, I'd be like, she looked at it on a website. She said she found it online via the pharmacy company. I'd be sending pictures of the place I'm going to in my family group to be like, guys, check out the beach we're going to. And then it's like, if my entire family disappeared the following week and then my relatives contacted the resort and be like, I'm sorry, we have no records of those people, I'd be like, maybe I should phone one police officer who will crack this whole thing. But the other problem they had was they decided to trial one of their medicines on a man who had blood clot issues, who happened to be one of the most famous rappers in the world, according to the movie. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you bring a famous person to your trial?
I forgot about that.
Right? That's the stupidest bit of decision making from these people who are a sinister pharmaceutical.
And then there was like a brief moment where it kind of seemed like the teenage daughter was trying to hook up with them, and we were like, please let that not happen. And it didn't. Thank God.
Thank God they didn't do that. Yeah. Instead, they brutally murdered him.
Oh God, that was horrific. Honestly, like, the treatment of the characters in this movie was brutal, and that was like the horror element. Now everyone pretty much got a brutal treatment. We gotta go. I wish M. Night Shyamalan would make a movie every day of the week, frankly, because it's so much fun to talk about.
That's so much fun doing this podcast. I'm glad we saw it, and long may his reign continue. Yeah. I'm so glad he's out there making mad shit, because there's nothing like it. Because as much as I sort of do think he there's a real lack of polish, particularly on the script, I'm kind of like, it's more fun this way, because if this had been produced by a Blumhouse, say, then we would have got a very polished, finished product.
That would have been boring.
That would have been like, that was an interesting concept. I had a few laughs.
Yeah, I enjoyed the clunky dialogue.
This was way more fun.
I really
just
enjoyed
with this,
the dialogue.
Like, with all its edges.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening and for all your comments already on Old Book. Keep hitting us up with them, because we love them.
Because I'll talk about this forever.
So we're at The Cinemile on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're thecinemile@gmail.com. And of course, over on our Patreon, where we do retro movie watches and all loads of TV reviews, or patreon.com/cinemile. And of course, we would really appreciate it if you're on Apple Podcasts in particular to rate and subscribe us there. We love when we get that. That's what helps like other people find us, etc. And it's kind of like the currency of podcasting, for better or worse, is over at Apple Podcasts. So please rate us there. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We never leave each other. Nothing separates us.
We're connected to something bigger.
Oh no.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I've always been told I have a face for podcasting. So I launched a podcast. It's called Phone a Friend, because each week I'll break down the biggest stories in pop culture. But when I have questions, I get to phone a friend. I'll phone a royal watcher to find out why Prince Harry is acting like a real housewife. I'll phone a tween to please explain Euphoria. And maybe I'll even phone a Backstreet Boy to find out if I still have a chance. I don't? Okay. New episodes drop every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.